Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
One of the themes of the Polk Street Review, I would say, is about identity.
Yes.
So who are we as Noblesville? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, we are one of the earliest cities in the state. We get our project's name, Polk Street Review, after a street in the oldest part of downtown that was originally called Polk Street. Mm-hmm. And William Connor, Josiah Polk laid out this the town in 1823. That's only 7 years for those of you who are in Europe or other places and have really old countries.
Yeah, for us it's old. Yeah,
because that's only 7 years after Indiana became a state.
Yeah,
you know, we have a large history museum to honor that history. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's a lot of newcomers to the area. They don't know the history of the city.
There are people who live on 8th Street, who have businesses on 8th Street, who have no idea that the original name of that street was Polk Street.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know until, after I'd been published in the first edition.
Yeah.
So, the influx of people that we have here means that we have to build a lot of new infrastructure to support people while trying, like you alluded to, mm-hmm. preserving some of that character of the town. And that is a struggle because we have the beautiful downtown that you were talking mm-hmm. about that nobody can park in.
Exactly. I don't think the new parking garage, this is personal, I don't think the new parking garage is going to solve everything. And I'm not happy with the height of it and the kind of the blocking of the view of the courthouse from the distance and everything. But we need better parking solutions down there. And the powers that be in the city have come up with a big old parking garage. So mm-hmm. we'll see.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know,
we'll cross our fingers that it's all for the best.
It's not just a parking garage. I should say it's also going to have like retail stuff on the bottom floor, and I think some apartments or something above. I don't know. It's a big old thing, you know. But we're not here to talk about
that. Yeah.
Not all change is bad. Not all change is bad.
And along with the idea that not all change is bad is that does bring in a lot of new artists,
even more newer
new
people.
Writers.
Yes.
And so we want to honor their stories as being part of the Noblesville story.
Yes.
Too.
And I think that's change is always difficult, but when you have new people coming in at the rate that we have in Noblesville and Hamilton County, we want to embrace that with our projects, and that's really important to us. So,
great. So, when I was reading the introduction in the draft that we were editing to the Poetry Review this year, I noticed that you were
shameless plug.
you were wrestling with that too.
Yes, in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, 2 days after our 2019 book launch, I was hospitalized for 2 weeks due to my lung disease. And on the very last day of my hospitalization, I became a first-time baba, which is the Macedonian word for grandmother, when my daughter and son-in-law had their first child, the healthy baby boy, yes, my darling, born literally two floors below me in the hospital. So, I mean, I was like, who but me would have, you know, their first grandchild born in the same hospital while they're in the hospital? That's crazy. But, I started taking care of him while his parents were at work Monday through Friday, so my life sure changed a lot. I mean, you know, I've been taking care of a baby for 30 years, so, you know, long time, yeah.
Which is just terrible for you, Alice. I can tell.
It's just horrible. When they drop him off, I'm just like, oh, God, he's here. No, I love him. I adore him. He's my delight. So Monday through Friday, I mean, I don't have the time during the week that I did before he was born to work on arts projects and things. And that's been a challenge for me because that's a very big part of my life and it's a very big part of my identity, especially as a disabled artist. Finding the energy and the time when my health, when I feel good, because my health is one of the kind of things that I have ups and downs. I get a lot of fevers and a lot of not good stuff. So, not having, you know, having this little baby need me instead of painting a painting or working on a poem or a story or the Polk Street Review or it's a challenge. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world because he's like I said, he's my little pally. He's my delight. But it has been a difference, a change, mm-hmm. a challenge. And our organization, the property that we had been renting for about five and a half years was sold. So we had to go through some serious changes, not the least of which was physically moving all of our stuff out of mm-hmm. the property. Most of that stuff is in my garage, my back porch, and some closets. We had a rough month or two with the changes we were dealing with, and you and I talked a lot about, you know, the future of our 501c3, because right. not having that place to, you know, have offices, to store all our stuff, to host all of our events, that made a big difference. And I remember asking you and our treasurer, the wonderful Miss Joyce Perry, who was our treasurer, if you guys would be willing to stick with me and come along, if we rebranded, changed our name, you know, used my home address as our mailing address, that kind of thing, and tried to continue with some of our projects and maybe add some new things in a different way. And, you know, I was thrilled and grateful when both you and Joyce said you would. And so we did have to rethink kind of our brand, if you will. Mm-hmm. No longer hosting live music concerts, for example, and needing to find other local venues for our workshops, book launches for Pulitzer Review, and presentation events. I think when we talked about rebranding, we knew we wanted to continue with our two annual projects, NICE and mm-hmm. the Pulitzer Review.
Right.
Those are very important to us. And we talked about also expanding our digital content. And I say expanding mm-hmm. loosely, because I think before, I mean, we were expanding from practically zero, because I think before our digital content consisted of going live on Facebook every once in yep. a while, you know.
Queens.
Yeah, so, but we did. We rebranded our organization, new name, Community Education Arts, new mailing address, new website. We started focusing on adding more digital content to our opportunities for creative people of all kinds. And those now include, we have online arts showcase exhibits that revolve every couple of months with themes you can submit to, poetry, prose, artwork, even music if you want, our At the Roundtable podcast mm-hmm. and short video series. And those literally, by the way, you can't, in the video, you can't really see it, in the podcast, you really can't see, but our At the Roundtable recordings take place at my dining room table, which is literally a huge 5 foot in diameter round butcher block table. So you can't see it. You might be able to see the very edge of it in the video, but it is a big round table, mm-hmm. and that's why our podcast is called At the Roundtable, because that's where we sit, you know. And so again, not all change is bad. As hard as those couple of months were when we first had to do all this, I am really excited and happy about all the changes that we've made.
Me too.
And I'm also glad that we found ways to continue with our two annual projects, which are both creative placemaking projects, and to kind of expand into that digital universe, as it were.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit, you talk a little bit about some other creative placemaking projects that you have found.
Sure. So I did a little bit of research, because we know our own experience, but there's lots of other cities that are doing creative placemaking really well. And so a few examples that I found. In Pittsburgh, there's something called the City of Asylum. And in Pittsburgh, there's this low-income neighborhood along Sampsonia Way. Their creative placemaking efforts, they take arts and social services into vacant or run-down buildings. For example, the City of Asylum, it sounds great. Exiled writers from all over the world, they can live there.
Oh, wonderful.
I want to be.
Can I go live there?
Yeah, I saw.
Wait, I'd have to take my little Pally with me, my little grandson. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw lots of different countries that they were mm-hmm. coming from.
Oh, that's great.
And so in exchange for being a writer in residence, they live rent-free, they have a living stipend, they have medical benefits. I don't see that with
wow.
a lot of
no.
writers in
yeah.
residence.
No.
They also get help finding a publisher, employment, and what they're doing is maybe they're teaching a creative writing class to the community. Maybe they're holding public readings in the local park.
They're engaging the community, which is absolutely. What we talked about last time in
absolutely.
Our episode. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
And if you Google some of these buildings, there's just these beautiful murals on the sides
wow.
of some of these
yeah.
buildings that they've created. There's also in the same area in Pittsburgh a former Masonic lodge, and it's being transformed into Alphabet City. And, it's a multi-use building for arts programming, and it has a bookstore and a restaurant. I think I'd move in and never leave.
Yeah, that's restaurant, bookstore, I'm in. Yeah. Wait, is there parking? No, I'm just kidding.
There we go. Yeah. That's the problem we need to solve.
Now tell us about what's going on in Alton, Missouri.
Okay, so Alton is a small town in the Ozarks, and so local farmers and artisans partner together to supplement each other's incomes. For example, residents buy things at the art gallery, they buy things at the farmer's market, they might take culinary classes at a certified community garden, they can eat at a pay-what-you-can lunch program, they can learn to garden and raise beds, and then the produce goes back into the kitchen that I just mentioned. Yeah. So, it's also a community hub for, like, watching film screenings, pickin' parties. I really want to know more about that.
Pickin' strawberries? Or pickin'? Sure. I don't know what pickin'. We don't know what they're pickin', but hey, you know.
Jam sessions. Well, you know, with that phrasing, it could be a jam session.
I have a feeling it's banjos and guitars, but who knows? Yeah.
There's also an on-site library with books, art, music. It's all, you know, focused on the Ozarks.
That's very cool.
Right. Yeah. And so that's another way of building that sense of place and community there.
Definitely.
Yeah. The last one I found was Revolve Detroit.
Ooh.
And so this started in 2013. The Detroit Economic Growth Corporation got a grant from Art Place America to display art in vacant storefronts and also just like underperforming public spaces.
Cool.
And so what happens is they work with local groups. They fill these storefronts with various pop-up shops, with art installations, and it's inviting people to just reimagine what can this place be that isn't being used or that is not being used to its full potential. What can we do to bring up the art level, to just bring new budding businesses in?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it look aesthetically better, it makes it feel alive, and a lot of the revival of the area is due to this initiative.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. All of those examples that you brought are great examples for what we talked about. I'm going to recap a little bit here. The beginning of looking at your community, looking at its history, looking at the past, the present, what does it need, what's going on there, what strengths does it have, and some of these are obviously, especially I think the Detroit example, are very good at trying to change public perception, maybe, of, you know.
Absolutely.
So they have their goals in mind and they're meeting them. And I think they probably went through all those things we talked about to get the information they need to identify their arts project. So if you take the time to look at your community and look at all the information that you can gather, to then start making lists of different types of art projects, I think you'll find your project. I'm saying single project, but you can have more than one. We do. So in our next recording, we're going to discuss things that will help you define your creative placemaking project and its end product or products. So that's all for this time. We'll see you next time at the round table. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.